It's not a message that is popular. It's not a message that you hear much of anymore. But it is a message that is very relevant, that is very timely, that applies to us here in America today. And it is not something that is to scare you, but something to prepare you. You know, God sends words to His people not to scare, but to prepare. And the devil is the one who puts fear on us. Amen? I want to say this too, that God convicts us of sin. The Holy Spirit pricks us and He convicts us, you know, of sin. Anybody beside myself been convicted at least once? Yeah. But the devil puts condemnation on us. And the conviction is to draw us to God. The condemnation is to draw us what? Away. And so if He can get us into self-condemnation and getting our eyes off Jesus and all He's done and start putting it on ourselves and on our own performance, we get into condemnation, don't we? You see, and our victory comes through grace, the grace of God, and not through my self-effort. And if I'm living by my self-effort, I fail. And when I fail, and of course my eyes are already on me in the first place, the wrong place to be, then I get into self-condemnation. An enemy comes along and says, God's done with you, or you messed up, or you need to just bow your head in shame and live the rest of your life in this funk, you know. And the Holy Spirit say, hey, there's mercy at the cross. There's grace. There's grace at the throne of God. So you lift up your head. You come to your Father. If you mess up, you come to your Father. Don't run away from God. It's the worst thing we can do, you know. But we need to run to Him. Run into His arms. Say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. And please forgive me. And do you know what He does? He forgives you. Yeah. And then the next step we need to take is we need to accept that forgiveness. Amen. We need to say, Lord, thank you. I receive forgiveness. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Because it's by faith that we receive it. So God already says, He promised already He would forgive us. So you just receive it. Why? Because God wants us to go on. He wants us to grow up in Him. He wants us to bear fruit. Amen. He wants us to glorify Him in the earth. And if we're living in fear and condemnation and shame and guilt and all this stuff that the enemy's throwing on us, then we can't with confidence serve the Lord. Amen. And it's a hindering spirit that comes with that. So we just need to cast that thing off and say, no, illegal. Speak to the hand devil, not listening, not interested in your stuff. So the title of today's message is, I'm going to shift gears a little bit, but it's called The Call to Suffering. The Call to Suffering. Now, I know that it's popular to tell people that, you know, everything is always going to be rosy and everything is just love and easygoing and joy and mountaintops. And you know what? In God, there is no greater joy. There is no greater ecstasy than being in His presence. Would you agree with me? There's no greater high than being in the presence of the Most High God. And I don't need the inferior stuff, because in His presence is this fullness of joy. And you know what? I think we're just touching the tip of the iceberg when we talk about fullness of joy. But there's times when God just hits us with a joy stick, you know, and we just, wow, it's good. You know, and I want more, Lord. I want more. But we also need to understand that there is a purpose in suffering. That we're also called to suffer at times for the name, for the sake of Jesus. And God is calling His church to become a living testimony, that we might stand in the days ahead to this world that is dying, and to be a witness to this world. The world is to witness the power of God, not only, hear me, in demonstrations of power, but by the witness of His people standing up in the face of great opposition and suffering. So we are to witness to the resurrection of Christ in demonstrations of power, but also through the manifest presence of God in a people that are able to stand up in the face of opposition and suffering and be firm, to be planted, and to not be wavering and not to be shaken. And that is also the purpose for the power of God in our lives, to give us the ability to stand up and to resist the enemy. Are you hearing me? And to overcome in the day when we are persecuted for Jesus. Now, in Luke chapter 24, if you turn there, chapter 24, verse 45 will begin. This is a couple of the disciples. We don't really know who they were because they were later sent. They went to the 11. But we believe that one of them was Cleopas. And the other disciple might have possibly been the author of this book, Dr. Luke. And so these two disciples are walking on the road to Emmaus. And this stranger appears to them. And of course it was the Lord. And you know, how often have we had an encounter with God and maybe not even realized it? Maybe He's appeared to us in the form of somebody that maybe we didn't really want anything to do with. Just a thought. How many times have we maybe even entertained angels unaware? When I was hungry, You fed me, you know. When I was sick, You visited me. When did we see You, Lord? And so, they're on the road to Emmaus. They're sorrowful because the Lord has been crucified. All their hopes and their dreams have been dashed. And it's just like Jesus to show up and say, "What? Why the long face? What's going on?" And haven't you heard? Isn't that something? And so, it wasn't until they invited the stranger who was Jesus to their home and they broke bread with Him that they recognized Him. The breaking of bread speaks of fellowship. If we don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, you're not going to see the real Jesus. It comes through fellowship, intimacy. The breaking of bread speaks of that. A sharing in the life of Jesus, not only as an individual, but corporately, as we are the body, amen, of Christ. And so their eyes were then opened when they broke bread with Him, and they recognized Him. And what did He do? He vanished. It says He just vanished. I'm like, I think God has a sense of humor, don't you? And so look at this verse 45. He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. You know, how many of us have looked at the Scriptures and they've just been a dead letter? We haven't had a clue. What is it talking about? Well, you can't know unless somebody opens them up to you. And it has to be Jesus, amen, by His Holy Spirit. And verse 46, he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name." And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name. And that what? And remission of sins. What does remission mean? It means pardon, right? It means forgiveness of sins. Should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And then in verse 48, He says, listen to this. He says, "And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." You need to be baptized, amen, with the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled with the power of God to be an effective witness. Now that word witness also means martyr. Now that's not a popular word, is it? We don't want that martyr word, but He says you will be martyrs. Not only will you witness in word and in deed and in demonstrations of power, but 11 out of the 12 died a martyr's death for the sake of Jesus. And see, this is not popular, but folks, we are called not only to glory in His presence, but there may be time, and it may be a time coming soon, when we're going to have to make the decision whether we are going to confess Jesus or deny Him and perish. I mean, we may save this biological body, folks, but your soul is in jeopardy when you begin to deny the only Lord who is your hope. And the only way we're going to be able to stand up is by the grace of God, and not because we're just bold and strong, you know, and brave people. Because Peter thought that he was a strong individual. Amen? And a little girl got him to compromise. Amen? Because he didn't realize what he was getting involved with. He thought, oh, we got this taken care of. You know, I'm a fisherman, man. We go out and we can kick butt, you know. And when he's faced with the devil, he's just, oh, I guess I wasn't as big as I thought I was. And Peter had to realize that he did not have what it took before he could be in position for God's grace to rest upon him, for him to do the impossible. And legend has it that Peter was crucified upside down, because he didn't want to be crucified the same way his Lord was. It was his choice. Or tradition has it. In Acts 1 and verse 8, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But you shall receive power, dunamis, dynamic working power, after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses." That's the same word, by the way. Martis. "To me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So the purpose for the power of God is that we might be effective martyrs for Christ. What does that mean? It means that we are ready to be offered up. We are to present to God our bodies as living sacrifices. Amen? If God decides that you and I are not going to die a martyr's death, it's up to Him, because we're His property. He can do whatever He wants with us. But the Bible says that those who have been martyred for Christ have a better resurrection. They will be rewarded eternally. So the purpose of this power is that we might be effective martyrs for Christ. That means that we are ready to be offered up. And we have already made the decision. The die has been cast, as they say. And we have already decided that I'm going to follow Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the only way to the Father. He is the only truth and He is the only life. He is the door, and only through Christ will we enter in to paradise. Are you hearing me? Only through Christ will we enter into fellowship with the Father and the Son and the Spirit. And so there's not, some people will say, well, I don't know if I like that way the Christians are following. There seems to be a lot of stuff happening right now in the world, and I'm not so sure that I want to be a part of that. Well, let me look for an alternative. Guess what? There are no other alternatives. There's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptized. Amen? Baptism, there's one Lord and one way. And Jesus Christ says, I am that way. So the power of God enables us to bear witness to the resurrection of Christ and also to endure suffering for the cause of the Lord. And it's true, isn't it, that we don't hear a lot of messages about this. However, as a child of God and a follower of Jesus, we need to have the same attitude which was that of Christ Jesus. Jesus says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 through 9 that He made Himself of no reputation. It was not about Him. Amen? We're to do the same thing. This whole thing that we're doing here, it is not about us. It is about the Father's will. Amen? It's about Jesus. And He made Himself a servant. He came in the form of a servant. He said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. And to give my life a ransom for many. So, Jesus is our example, and we are to have the same mind, or the same mindset that Jesus had. That I'm not here to do my will, I'm not here for reputation, I'm not here to be popular, I'm not here for people to like me, I'm here to do what my Father tells me to do. And I'm here to complete the work He gave me, the assignment He gave me. Because there is great joy waiting for me on the other side. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He suffered the death of the cross for the benefit of many. Thank God he did it for me and for you. Amen? So we have a responsibility as his people to teach God's people that there is a real possibility we could suffer. Amen? And even face death for the cause of Christ. And the Bible is very clear that all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall, not might, will, what? Suffer persecution. If you live a godly life, you're not going to be popular with the people of the world. Amen? Your brothers and sisters in Christ will love you, but you have a new normal now, right? What used to be normal to you is now abnormal. And now what the world thinks is that really is unnormal is your new normal. So we are living in this new reality. It's superior reality. It's the kingdom of God. Amen. And this is the good news that Jesus said, you are in the very palm of your Father's hand. Amen. Nobody can snatch you out of my Father's hand. No devil, no demon can take you out of my Father's hand. So don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or you're going to wear or about tomorrow or about the economy. Don't worry about anything. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You're in the palm of your Father's hand. He's going to take care of you. If Papa says it's time for you to come home, we go home. For me to live is Christ and to die is a gain. So we need to understand that, folks. When God says, go and do this, go and preach the gospel, go to this nation, go to this person, go into this situation, and do what I tell you to do, know that God is with you, God is for you, and no devil can touch you. If Papa decides it's time to go home, we just go home. But I want to go home in the will of God, amen? I want to know what I'm doing God's will. It's not enough to start well, we've got to finish well. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, he says, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And then he goes on to say, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. What? Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. How many are confessing Jesus? How many want your name confessed in heaven? Start confessing Jesus. The Papa is glad when he hears his children talking about the Son, amen? Boasting on Jesus and come on. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Now listen, he said something interesting here in verse 34. What? Do not think I came to bring peace on earth. Peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword.
Yes, that's what he said.
Ooh. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Is there a witness here today? Has that happened to you since you came to Jesus? All of a sudden, there seems to be a falling out with certain family members. Why? Because they're serving a different master. You used to serve that master, but that was some of you, right? No longer. We're following Jesus now, and because we follow Jesus now, there's going to be falling out, man. There's going to be a separation that takes place. And the day is coming when God's going to decide, okay, you're the sheep and you're the goats. You're the wheat and you're the tares. You're the good fish and you're the bad fish. Well, let God sort that out. It's not our job. Amen?
Amen.
All I know is I want to be found faithful to the end.
Amen.
I want to bring pleasure to my Father. I want to be in His will. I want to hear His voice and do exactly what He tells me to do. Because I know that Jesus promised that wherever I am, there my servant will be. I want to be where Jesus is. He may be over in the nursing home. He may be at the hospital. He may be down on the corner. Where's Jesus at? Yeah. But you think about the people of the world that need Jesus Christ, and that's what Jesus is saying. Amen? The lost. Lord, when did we see you naked and clothe you? You know? He says, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've what? Done it unto me. Jesus gave us a great promise. He says, if you confess Christ before man, that your name will be confessed in heaven. But on the other hand, he said, if we deny him, Jesus will deny us before the Father in heaven. Do you understand, folks? I say this often, but you don't take a journey without first packing your lunch. You need to be prayed up. You need to seek God. Amen. We need to seek God. We need to be completely, fully filled and equipped in the full armor of God so that we can stand in the evil day. Amen. You don't start halfway on a journey and say, hey, I think I forgot my lunch. You're going to starve. You got to be prepared today for tomorrow. God is saying, get ready. Things have shifted. Things are not going to remain the same. It's time for the people of God to realize that we are living in the last days. And the only hope there is in Jesus Christ. Amen. The only security is in Jesus Christ. And it's not in the government. Sorry. God can cause water to come out of the rock. He can rain manna down from heaven. Amen. Our faith and trust is in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We don't trust in ourselves. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 22, blessed or extremely happy are you when men hate you. How many are happy when people hate you? And when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. What did he tell us to do in that day? Mope. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. I don't know if I've ever leaped for joy for that yet, but I'm working at it. And you know, I had a friend that said one day he did that. He just leaped for joy. They said, now I know he's nuts, but... But we know the joyful sound. We know our God is with us. He's for us. And we're not to be afraid. We're not to live in fear. God has not given us that kind of spirit. For this is a gracious thing. This is the ESV, by the way. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. That's 1 Peter 2:19. But Jesus said back to verse 23, he says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did the prophets. Or did to the prophets. So, you understand, folks, that God is watching. He's watching us in the secret place. He knows what we do, what we entertain in our minds. He knows all about us. There are no secrets. Everything is bare and open to the one to whom we must give an account. So I don't know about you, but I want to make sure my heart is right. I want to make sure that I'm guarding this thing up here and that I'm not entertaining the wrong stuff. Amen? If you want heaven in your heart, get heaven in your head. Starts there, amen? Change the way you think. Start dwelling on good things. Lovely things, things that are true. Things that are of good report. Amen? Shift the way that we think. But Jesus said, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. I don't know about you, but I'm sick of this world. I'm dead to this world, folks. I really, there is just nothing that thrills me, excites me. Come on. That's a sign that we're dying, amen, to these things that are passing away, because we have our eyes and our goals somewhere else. We're fixing our eyes upon Christ, amen. Setting our affections on things above and not the things on the earth, because the things that are seen are temporary. They're passing away. And yet, too much of the messages you're hearing today are all about your best life now and all about living for this world, folks. It's not about that. God is preparing a bride. He's preparing a people that will be with Him forever. Amen. He's making us beautiful. And sometimes the refining comes through this thing called persecution and opposition. And yet God says He's going to have a church that is holy. He's going to have a church that is pure. Folks, we know that the underground church in China is bigger than the visible church in America. And those people are crying out day and night. They are hours and hours and hours of travail and in prayer. And they are having ecstasies in the Spirit. And they're having heaven opened up. They're having visions of New Jerusalem. And God is lifting them up to a place where they could have never discovered in this world, no matter how many pleasures they pursued. Are we hungry and we thirsty for Him and for the things of God? Or are we just spending ourselves on the temporary things that we see, touch, and feel every day? But because their hearts are for God and they're realizing that they need God, even their life depends upon it. And many of them know that when they make the decision to follow Jesus, it could mean their life. So they have discovered and they've already made up their mind that I have decided to follow Jesus. There is no turning back. There's no turning back. You cannot run. If you try to save your life, Jesus says you'll lose it. If you confess me, I'll confess you. If you deny me, I'll deny you. And the real test comes when somebody has a gun on your head and says, deny. If we don't prepare, folks, if we don't know God, if we don't know Him intimately, you are a bullseye for the devil. If you are not praying, you are a bullseye for the devil. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you are a bullseye for the devil. We need to be armored up. We need to be prepared. Amen. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. But folks, that means that we have the armor of God on. I was listening to a testimony of an ex-Satanist who was saying, he was a very high-level Satanist. He was saying that the lukewarm Christians, he says he was able to put curses on. Make them sick. All kinds of tragedies would happen to them. He says, but the people who prayed and had a relationship with Jesus Christ, he couldn't touch. There was a wall of fire around them. And he says, when he tried to throw a curse on them, that thing would come back on them. You understand how we must pray. We must seek His face. Because if you don't have the armor of God on, you're a target. We have prayer meeting here on Friday night. There's very few people. Very few people that come, but thank God for the few that come. I know not everybody can make it, so I'm not putting you on a guilt trip. I'm just saying that we need to understand that there is great value in prayer, amen? That things happen because people are praying, and they're praying in agreement. And we're seeking God's face. We're not just asking Him for things, but we want to know God. I want to know Him. I don't want to just be a servant. I want to be a friend. Jesus says, you're my friends if you do what I tell you to do. We'll enter into friendship with God. You see, a servant doesn't know what his master's doing, but a friend does. He lets him in on the stuff. Hey, I want to be a friend. Amen? God has called us to suffering. In 1 Peter 2:18, servants, be subject to your masters. Let me put it in modern terms. Employees, be subject to your employers. With all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But when you do good and suffer for it, you endure. this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. You understand? If you're doing the right thing and you suffer for it, if you're being a testimony, you're being a witness, your life is an example of Christ on the earth, amen? And you suffer for it, God rewards you for it. God is pleased. Why? Because we are letting our light shine. We are representing Him. We are ambassadors. And we don't want to bring discredit to our King. We don't want to bring reproach upon our King by the way that we're living. We claim to be followers of Jesus. We better be following Jesus. Otherwise, keep your mouth shut. Did I just say that? Yeah, I did. You want to have bumper stickers all over your car? Amen? Don't be giving people the bird when you get upset, amen? Or have road rage and lose your temper. Just take those stinking things off, amen? Folks, I don't have bumper stickers because once in a while I lose my cool. Not like I used to. I would have been one of those road rage people. I just didn't have a title for it at that time, you know. But God has set me free from that. Hallelujah. No longer is my temper telling me what to do. But if you do good and suffer for it, if you endure, this is a gracious thing. For this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, verse 21, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in His steps. Now, folks, I want to say it again, but we are not to fear suffering. It's illegal. Fear is illegal for us, amen? If we're into fear, we got to get into presence. Go deeper. Be clothed, be armored. When you've got the full armor on, come on. The righteousness of Christ on you. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Hallelujah. Thank you for that, Lord. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 10, this is to the church of Smyrna. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says of the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. How many know what the second death is? The second death is the lake of fire. The Christians should not fear any of those things they would suffer. Now, it could have been 10 literal days. It could have been 10 distinct persecutions under the Roman emperors. That was prior to Constantine. Or it could be 10 years of persecution under Diocletian. Anyways, I looked that up. The believers were encouraged to be faithful until death. That is to be willing to die rather than renounce their faith in Christ. Amen. They would receive the crown of life, which is a special reward for martyrs. How many are enjoying this today? Amen. How many are not? How many would agree that the truth is the only thing that's going to keep us? Amen? Amen. We've got to hear it. We've got to know what God says. We've got to have the word rightly divided, folks. You know, we can just, come on, if you just eat candy and gum, you get sick. You got to have a full course meal. Amen. You got to have the meat and the potatoes and the vegetables as well. And God, once in a while, will throw in a dessert. But you got to have it all. Amen. I want the full deal. I want the full meal. I want to be a well-rounded Christian. God is bringing us, hear this, to a place of total dependence on Him. Total dependence on Him. So don't ask the question, what in the world is going on? We've all done that. We've all said, God, why? I've done all the right things. I've done the best I could to live for you, and why this? Well, there's a purpose in everything that is allowed in our lives as children of God that have been purchased with the blood of Jesus, that whose names are written in heaven, who are in the very palm of their Father's hand. It's not like God saying, oh, I didn't notice that. Come, we say, God, where are you? He's right here. We're in Christ. Our lives are hidden with Christ in God. So whatever happens, we need to understand that God is with us, God is for us, and God is looking at the end result. God is preparing a people who will be with Him for eternity. He is making His people ready. He's going to have a church that is holy and without blame, without spot or wrinkle. King James, amen. And we are ready for Him in that day when the Lord's going to say, that's my church. That's my son. That's my daughter. I know who you are. You stood up for me. You spoke my name. You confessed me before others. Enter into the joy of your Lord.
Thank you, God.
Oh, hallelujah. For the time has come, 1 Peter 4:17, for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Who do not obey the gospel of God. Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Verse 19, therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him, as in doing good as to a faithful Creator. Commit your soul. Give your soul. Amen? Don't try to save it. Don't try to hold on to yourself. Trust yourself fully to God. Amen. Know that He can take care of us. Know that He can protect us. The devil's not going to take liberty on a child of God. One who's walking, amen, in Christ, who's walking in the Spirit. He can't take liberty. He can't touch you. Now, if we want to rebel and we want to do our own thing, we say, God, I like what you say here, but I don't like that. I'm not going to do that. Well, God's not responsible anymore. Why? Because you've taken yourself out from under His protection. Now, there's times when God protects us anyways. Are you hearing me? But sometimes I believe the Father just says, okay, well, I'm going to have to teach my son a lesson. He just continues to rebel against me. And I know this isn't popular theology, but God sometimes just takes His hand and says, out behind the shed here, it's time for a spanking. It's time for an attitude adjustment. It works every time. Because we're sons. God loves us. We're daughters, amen? God loves us. And He doesn't want to lose us. He's jealous over us with a godly jealousy. The highest price was paid for us, the blood of His Son, slain on that cross, on that wicked cross, amen? For us, the highest price was paid. He paid in blood for us. And so He is jealous for us. He doesn't want to lose any of us. Why do you think the world is constantly pulling on you? God is preparing us to be a witness in two ways. I'm almost through, okay? Number one, He's preparing us to be a witness in our conduct, the way that we live. 1 Peter 4:1 says, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. This is the ESV. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. This is the Word of God. If you're suffering in the flesh, it means that you're done with sin. If you yield to sin, if you live in sin, there's no suffering there except the repercussions of sin, amen, that we bring upon ourselves. But if we're suffering for God for doing good, this is commendable before God. And the second way God is preparing us is in word, in truth. He said to them in Mark 16 and verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That means to herald the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And then we must confess the truth. 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Folks, when the welfare, social security, bank accounts, employment, food supplies, health are gone, many people are then going to look to the only hope that will surely endure. And when they see the church standing strong, when all else has failed, many will cry out to God and His people for deliverance, because they are watching us right now. Are we walking in the victory now? Are we walking prepared, amen, every day? So that when everything is being shaken around us, there's going to be stability in your life, because Christ is your stability. He is your foundation. He is the rock, amen, of your life. He is the one that keeps you together. So otherwise you lose your mind, amen, or fall apart. So if we are living in that place of victory through the abiding presence, amen, and faith in His ability, God's grace, then the world's going to one day, and it's not going to be very far off, folks. It's going to be very quickly, I believe. They're going to start saying, what must I do? I don't know what to do. My life is unraveling. It's falling apart. All the things that I was trusting in, all the false security blankets I was trusting in, they're all gone now. What do I do? Well, we can tell them, I'll tell you what I've done. I tell you what works. There is a peace that passes all understanding. There is a love, a perfect love that casts out all fear. There is a joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's in the presence of the Lord. It's in Him. It's in Christ alone. He is my hope. He is my rock. He is my sword. He is my shield. He is my all in all. He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. God is able to keep me. God is able to preserve my life unto His heavenly kingdom. Amen? I don't fear man. I fear God only. And I pray, God, don't let me fear man. I want to fear You only. Amen? Because if I fear man, I will compromise. I will bow down to Baal, to the devil. God says, I have given you a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what we accept. That's what we receive. Remember, we receive the truth. Hallelujah. And I use that a lot. When that thing tries to get on me, I just say, no, God has given me a spirit of power, love, sound mind. Anything else is illegal for me. I'm a child of God. Those who stand strong and endure the trials of their faith will come forth as pure gold. God's refining us. And that's why James was talking. He said, listen, in chapter 5, verse 7 of James, be patient, brethren. This is a church that was undergoing persecution until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do you hear Him say, be patient and establish your hearts. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Pray in the Holy Spirit. Be prepared internally. If you're not standing internally, you won't out externally. So God says, be ready. Be prepared. Pray always. Stay in prayer. Stay in connection. For the coming of the Lord is at hand. See, we have a blessed hope. We have a hope. We serve the God of all hope. When we look at the things coming and happening around us, folks, we should be rejoicing. And we should be lifting up our heads. And we should be shouting more the name of Jesus. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Because we have a blessed hope. For the dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen? And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. There is a hope. Jesus said, watch and pray always that you be counted worthy to escape all the things that are coming upon the earth and to stand before the Son of Man. Are we watching? Are we praying? Are we finding our security in Him? Are we finding our peace in Him? Or are we trembling and fearful and worried about the future? Folks, it just means we need more of Him.
Yep.
Hallelujah. We have prayer meetings. We want you to come and just get immersed. Amen. Be immersed before you even come to church. Pray up and be ready. Amen. Bring the anointing with you. And when we just come together, we'll create a great, big, huge cloud of His glory because God's people are in unity. Hallelujah. You know, the only way we're going to be in unity is not because we hold hands and sing kumbaya.
Yeah.
We're going to be in unity because we're all in tune with Him.
Yeah.
Amen. When everybody's in tune with Him, automatically there's unity.
Yeah.
Okay. One more. This is actually a hymn from the book of Habakkuk. Chapter 3 and verse 17, I'm going to finish. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk on my high hills. There's a higher place. There's a realm in the Spirit where we can go. Hallelujah. He lifts us up above all the noise and the confusion. We are to soar on wings as eagles. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles.